so many things to be thankful for. And I was thinking about my good friend from 50 years ago, Tom Jenkinson, who's dialed in. And, you know, he just wrote a book about God's Word as the foundation for our country, for America. And I really wanted to try to get it read before summer school, but I've been a little busy. You know, but I've gotten about, I don't know, 3/4 of it read. So I don't like to recommend a book till I've read the whole thing, but I think I can recommend this book. So it just shows miracle after miracle that allowed our country to survive, to be our country. And the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the people involved with the Revolution, you know, our wonderful patriots, they all looked to God, they prayed to God, and they got tremendous results from their prayer, just like we do. I haven't, you know, nobody reports to me all the miracles and stuff that happens during something like this summer school, but I know of a few of them, and just a terrific, terrific time of God's people being together. So anyway, pardon?
How you get the book?
I don't know. Tom will have to tell us. Tom, can you stay on and tell him at the end? Ron, you want to take?
He's on a phone.
Yeah, oh.
Or
you can text it to me or something. You got the number you have for me is a cell phone, so you could text to me how we can get it. But, you know, I was thinking, well, gosh, if I could have read it before summer school, and then I could have had a bunch of them there, because we had our bookstore during summer school. But I don't know, I'm a slow reader anymore. But, you know, I just I'm enjoying it so much. Well, today, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I think about the outreach of God's Word in the first century, and we're reaching out with God's Word today as well. And so many things where their steadfastness on the Word and their determination to make it known and to make it available is so wonderful. And just signs, miracles, and wonders that took place as they stood on the Word. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people..." Oh, and this was chapter 3, remember the lame man who was lame for 40 years? I used to have a hard time thinking about 40 years, but that was when I was in my 20s. But now I think about 40 years at times. But he was healed, walking and leaping and praising God. Remember that? Well, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them," not to minister, "and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. However, many of them which heard the word," did what?
Believed.
"And the number of the men was about 5,000. And there were women and children besides that." So that was a pretty good group of folks. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander," and these were all people that got the crowd to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus was before Caiaphas, remember? Yeah. So these are the people that that they're standing before. And as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, Peter and John and other apostles, I don't know how many others, but when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And they didn't say, "Pardon me, by what power or what name have you done?" It was a demand. By what power or what name have you done this? They were upset. And here these guys standing there receiving this. And let's see. I lost my place. Oh, okay, verse 8. Then Peter, filled Plato, filled to overflowing, with Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said unto them. So this, he was speaking basically by revelation. This tells you that he was speaking for God. He was speaking the words of God. "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man," should say impotent, "the impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto y'all." That's proof they were from Virginia. No, not really. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but they didn't stop there, "whom ye crucified," oh my gosh, he is putting it on him, "whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." What about Buddha?
Nope.
No. What about?
Nope.
What about?
Nope.
What about?
Nope.
No. Okay. "Neither is there salvation," wholeness, "in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must," not may, but must be saved, must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took counsel of them that they had been with Jesus. But if you remember, being with Jesus wasn't enough, because even after the resurrection, they were still behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. The resurrection wasn't enough. You know what really changed those men and women? What? Speaking in tongues. They received the gift of Holy Spirit. They became body, soul, and spirit folks. You know, what God intended for mankind. Wow. It wasn't just that they had been with Jesus. They got born again of God's Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And beholding the man that was healed standing there, he couldn't stand for 40 years. And there he is standing. I mean, there is living proof that the Word of God works, that God heals, that God blesses. They could not say, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem," and we cannot deny it. We cannot deny that this guy was healed. I mean, he's standing right here. "But that it spread no further," I know what we'll do, "among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man," what? "In this name." The name of Jesus Christ is so significant. The name of Jesus Christ is important. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They didn't say Christ because they weren't sure he was the Messiah. They rejected him as the Messiah. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said, I mean, they could have kept their mouth shut and said nothing, right? You can't shut those guys up. You know, I mean, they had seen Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. They'd been with him and seen the signs, miracles, and wonders. Boy, But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I think we've seen and heard a few things. Boy, oh boy, isn't that something? We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, you know, that wasn't enough. They further threatened them. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, they went back to their own company and they had a prayer and they did some other stuff. And Ananias and Sapphira messed up. But look at chapter 5, verse 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, which is an area of the temple. It's like an outer court of the temple. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. The believers were the more added, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So there were about 5,000 in chapter 4. Now we're in chapter 5, that's later. And it says multitudes. This is beyond the about 5,000. Isn't that something? Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. They so believed in Peter's ability to walk on the word, to manifest the power of God, that if even just the shadow of Peter passing by would overshadow them, they believed they'd be healed. Isn't that terrific? Man, oh man. That's just really hard to believe. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that in our country today. Or I don't know if there's ever been anything like that since then. But the people saw. They knew this man. He was set at the temple gate, beautiful, every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. There he is again. Every day. You know. And these people walked by all that time, and they looked at him. Oh, poor guy. They flipped him some money, you know, flipped him a coin, you know, with Caesar's picture on it. You know, whatever. And then one day, Peter and John came by and ministered to him, and he was healed. And by sharing the word with them, others were healed, others were blessed, others were delivered. They got born again. They became a complete person. You know, I've heard people talk about, well, they felt like something was missing until they got born again. Well, something was missing. It's called Holy Spirit. You were supposed to be a three-part being. You know, and again, I think of this, how important it is for us to speak the word to people. Make it possible for other people that are around us to get born again. You know, if somebody, if they pray the sinner's prayer, they're not going to be born again. Unless somehow in all of that, they confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead. They may stumble into the new birth, you know, but you must be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, what it says for us to do in Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must be saved. You must be. It's not, well, you might get saved or you might. No, you must be saved. I don't know. I get wrapped up in some of these things where I, maybe it's because I'm ADHD or HDMD or, I don't know, some kind of letters or not really. It's the Word of God, and I'm trying to emphasize it so that we can grasp the greatness of it. Right. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem. It wasn't just in Jerusalem, but the cities round about, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up. Okay, enough is enough, right? The high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with love and admiration. Indignation. Wouldn't it have been great if they could have risen up, confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and be saved? They maybe had already gone the other route and it wasn't available. But then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles. Here we go again. And put them in the common prison. Oh gosh, there they are, stuck in prison again. Next verse. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Not only did the angel open the prison doors, but the angel must have closed the prison doors too, because you're going to see later that when they came to get them, to bring them before the council and fuss at them again, that they were gone. The prison doors were closed and the guards were still there. Really something. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. The angel is telling them to do something that is contrary to what is done in the temple. In the temple, when you read the scroll, you stand up. Then you sit down to speak, to teach. You know, all the words of this life, some of them they could have found in the Old Testament, and they'd had to jump from this place to that place. It's a little hard with those scrolls. You know, it's not like, you know, we've got our phones and we can quickly go to the next verse, you know. you know, or in our Bibles, even that's quick. But you got, wait a minute, let me go get the scroll of Isaiah. You know, oh, wait, you're quoting Micah. Let me go get, okay, well, anyway. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What life is that? The more than abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available. The life of the Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They did what the angel told them to do. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Wait a minute. These guys are supposed to minister in the temple. They didn't send them to the temple. They didn't send these people to the temple to get them. They sent them to prison. They didn't know yet that they had been sprung by an angel. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut." I want to make this clear to you. "With all safety. And the keepers standing without," you know, the guards were there, standing without the prison like they're supposed to be. "But when we had opened, we found no man within." That must have been a shock. You know, they got their group together, you know, the council, they're getting ready, and they're rehearsing what they're going to say to them and comparing notes and how they're going to fuss at them some more and don't speak at all and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they're getting this all ready. They get there and they're gone. Now, if you were sprung from jail and what got you in jail was speaking in the temple, wouldn't you just split and go back? Let's go to Nazareth. Nazareth, heck. You know, let's go to wherever, Mount Hermon or whatever. Okay, well, let's go on here. They found nobody. Verse 24. "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." I tell you what, those people, they just won't quit, right? Isn't that something? What were they teaching the people? All the words of this life. That included how to get born again. You know, that included remission of sins. That included so many other things. And they were, standing in the temple, teaching the people. When you read from the scroll, you stood up. When you taught, you sat down. They were standing and teaching. And why did they do that? To be rebellious? No, because the angel told them to do that. The angel told them to do that. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Maybe they should have been. Oh, well, I don't know. Lest they should have been stoned. You know, if they'd have spoke out against these guys that had done such a wonderful miracle, and they were speaking the words of life, you know, and these people were multitudes were getting born again and saved, and they were there in the temple. If they had, you know, grabbed them, you know, if they hadn't done it without violence, they wanted to grab them and shake them, you know, but they. Would you please come this way? You know, they did it very gently, very without violence. Boy, oh boy. Verse 27. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Didn't we straitly command you?" And isn't this the place where it says commanded or something? I don't know. But anyway, I read that one of these verses does. Saying, "Didn't we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name?" Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, you did. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah, or whatever. You know, fill Jerusalem with this doctrine, with your doctrine. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, you know, you're the ones that had him crucified. You got the crowd to say, crucify him, crucify him. You know. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And isn't that true? Even today. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, on a post, or, you know, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, the Holy Gift, Holy Spirit, gift to Holy Spirit from God, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. We cannot let these people out there talking. They are going to have people no longer tithe to us. We're going to lose our money. We're going to lose our prestige. We're going to lose our position. You know, we're going to lose everything. We have got to get this to stop. They took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Would you apostles please excuse us for a few minutes? We want to have a little talk here. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, remember him, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, of course, this is multitudes, you know, 5,000, then it said multitudes on top of that, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Do you notice anything missing with Theudas?
Yeah, he didn't get up from the dead.
That's it. He wasn't raised from the dead, but Jesus Christ was. And these apostles spent 40 days, you know, and other believers spent 40 days with him in his resurrected body, and then they were there when he went up. Wow. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and that was around 67 AD, I think, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it shall come to naught, just like these other guys. But if it be of God, which it is and was and still is, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Not a good thing to do. The creator of the universe, who knows how everything works, you know, knows more about how everything works and, you know, those that think they know about it. And to him they agreed. Smart move. And when they had called the apostles and patted them on the back and told them, you know, no, they beat them. They agreed with with Gamaliel, but they still beat him. They threatened him before. They beat him this time. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And again, they didn't say in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't speak in the name of Jesus. And they departed from the presence of the council dejected.
Nope.
Disappointed. Nope. Relieved that they weren't in jail anymore. Probably that, yeah, maybe that. No, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they had were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That could be a tongue twister there. Yeah. They departed rejoicing. Rejoicing. And daily, once a week.
Daily.
Oh, I'm sorry. Every other Tuesday. Daily. And I did a study on daily one time, and I didn't mark this Bible with that, but it means daily. In the temple and in every house. They went to the temple every day. They in every house, from house to house. They met from house to house. This was the talk of the town. You know, you heard the talk of the town, whatever it is. This was the big news flash. You know, God raised him from the dead. He's given power to men. You can have that power. The works that Jesus Christ did, you can do also. Greater works than these shall you do. Because he went to the Father and they saw him go. Wow. And daily in the temple and in every house. How many houses? Every house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Boy, what a terrific time that was. But you know what? This is a terrific time. This, because you are here. You know God's word like it hadn't been known since the first century. That's right. That's why on some of the things that I do, like my home study course and other things I do, I call it first century Christianity. You know, there's a group, they call themselves the Latter-day Saints. I think we're the former day saints. Because we want to believe what they believed in the first century. Because that's what God revealed for Christians to believe. He told them what they were supposed to believe. They messed up on it. So then he gave them reproof. Reproof. They messed up on that. And then he gave them correction. That's what we've got: doctrine, reproof, and correction. Romans is doctrine. 1 and 2 Corinthians, reproof, right? Galatians, correction. Ephesians is doctrine, okay? Philippians is reproof. Colossians is correction. And God took care of all of that in the first century. And then Thessalonians, there's no reproof and correction for that, because when you're gathered together, that's it. You got it. So, but he had that time period to put all of this together. So we've got everything that we need in the gift of Holy Spirit and the instruction in the Word. And if there's more instruction we need at the moment, he gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Still in the church today. Isn't that neat? God is so wonderful. And what we have in Christ is awesome. You know, their words fail to express how wonderful it is. So let's go out and let's make it available to others. Let's turn the world right side up. Well, you know, there's that verse that says, turn the world upside down. And Dr. Worrell said, well, that means it turned them right side up because they were kittywampus to begin with. So Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for your word that teaches us what they did in the first century. And then it also teaches us what we have, just like what they had, it's the same thing. The gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. We know you haven't changed. We know the gift of Holy Spirit hasn't changed. And may we, in our day and time, be like these wonderful believers of old and stand on your word and speak your word and bring forth people to get this new life, this more than abundant life that you've made available and that we can have for eternity. So again, we thank you and praise you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.